Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Matthew Law Middleton. Gina Kaufman is out today. In mid-May, Kansas City Public School Superintendent Steve Green announced he'd be leaving the district to take a job in DeKalb County, Georgia. And just this week, Tom Trigg, superintendent at Blue Valley Public Schools, also announced he'd be leaving for Highland Park School District in suburban Dallas. Steve Green will be joining up to date right after this conversation, reflect on his time in Kansas City. But all this got us thinking about the attention this leadership position receives. And does a school superintendent make a dramatic difference? And we'll want to hear from you in this conversation. You can call in at 816-235-2888. We're curious, does your school superintendent make a difference in your child's education? Join the conversation at 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCURCST. And we're joined today by Jim Hinson. He's the Shawnee Mission School Superintendent, helping us make our way through this question of how much difference does it make. So, Jim, I want to start with you here. And can you tell me what kind of person becomes a superintendent? You know, the bullet points of how you got here today.
Really, the bullet points for me, I was a classroom teacher, elementary school principal, and moved into the superintendency from there. And really, it's about leadership, because for me, as an elementary school principal, my superintendent at that time came up to me, and I remember him well, Dr. Charles Johnson. He said, Jim, you know, you need to complete that doctorate degree. You really need to be a superintendent. And so—
Was that a lift for you? Were you like, I don't know if I want to—
You know, that was really a lift for me, because I loved being an elementary principal, because you have such great contact with the students, the teachers, the parents as well. And then knowing as a superintendent, I thought, well, that's kind of a different world. I'm not sure that I really want to do that. But with his encouragement, some 20 years later, that's what I've continued to do.
So it sounds to me like you didn't necessarily always, or did you have this ambition to always manage and manage kind of on an executive level?
You know, it was not my aspiration at all to go into an administration. And so I really wanted to be a classroom teacher, wanted to have the impact on students. And so encouraged to go into the principalship, encouraged to go into the superintendency. But it was never an ambition to go into administration.
Mm. And so to make it really clear, explain to me what the explicit responsibilities are of being a superintendent. I think that there might be some, you know, perhaps general confusion about that.
You know, the role of the superintendency has really changed in my two decades now as a school superintendent because of the demands that really go on in society. But as a superintendent, obviously you're employed by the Board of Education. You're responsible for most everything that takes place in the school district. One of the most important factors in the role of the superintendent is employing the other individuals that are involved in leadership of the school district. And so if you really want to evaluate the effectiveness of the superintendent, I think you really look at the individuals that they surround themselves with. I think that's one of the key criteria. And so anything that's a legal issue, a financial issue, legislative or political issue, all of the issues that cannot be resolved by other individuals in the school district, generally those issues will ultimately go to the desk of the superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Do people sometimes assume you have responsibilities and powers particular that you don't necessarily have?
You know, they really do. And so when individuals, they don't like the answer they receive by other individuals, you know, they want to take it to the level of the superintendent in that regard. And so I think generally, I'm not sure people understand the role of the superintendent. And I'll give you an example. I still receive questions, well, what are you going to do this summer? Well, I work this summer. This is a 12-month position, and actually summer's a very, very busy time for us.
In what way? They're preparing? I mean, like, because I feel like, oh, well, most of your employees are off, but what are some of those responsibilities?
Well, our fiscal year is July 1 to June 30, and so we're wrapping up this fiscal year. We're starting the next fiscal year. All of our state and federal reporting requirements, all of those come due at this time of the year as well. If we have construction projects, remodeling, renovation going on, all of those are taking place in the summer as well. So there's a lot of time in relation to work at the desk, reports, those type of requirements. All of that takes place in the summer.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of impact do you feel you've had in shaping the education of the students that you've been serving and your employees?
You know, that's a difficult question to really answer, because you know, I'm very blessed to be in the role of a superintendency. I feel very humbled to be able to serve the community in which I work and really children. And I think the most important role of the superintendent is to serve the children of the school district where you work. The impact of the superintendent, I think, can really be measured by looking at school districts, the leadership they've had in place or the leadership they have not had in place. ultimately, somebody has to sit in the superintendent's chair. They should be providing great leadership for the school district. But if you really want to understand the impact, look at success stories and look at stories that have not gone well, and you can understand that impact.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Jim Henson. He's the Shawnee Mission School District Superintendent. And I understand that bit of recent news that your district is considering pulling out of the Kansas Association School Board. Can you explain some of that?
So at the last board meeting, we talked about, do we continue membership with the Kansas Association of School Boards? In the past, the district has belonged and has not belonged. And so it's an issue that's going to come to the board at the June board meeting. And so it was simply an item of discussion. Do we want to continue the membership or not?
What are the benefits of membership into the school board? You know, what are the pros and cons there?
You know, the Kansas Association of School Boards, I think they do a great job of trying to represent a very diverse group of school districts around the state of Kansas. And so you have large school districts, you have very, very rural school districts. So it's a difficult challenge, certainly for KESB. For us in Shawnee Mission, the question is, do they represent the needs of the Shawnee Mission School District for roughly the $20,000 it cost us annually to be a part of the organization? Mm-hmm. To be a part of the organization, I think, certainly is beneficial. At the same time, the question becomes, could the $20,000 be better spent somewhere else if we're not truly getting representation from KESB?
So it sounds to me like this is the exact example of what the role of a superintendent is, to make a decision regarding money about these kind of things. Is that correct?
You know, ultimately, this is an issue that I brought to the board because it's representation of the board from KESB. It's not a decision that I need to make. It's a decision that the board needs to make. But part of the role of the superintendent is to provide information and sometimes insight to the board so they can make those types of decisions.
You know, there's also a proposal coming from the Kansas legislature to reduce education funding an additional about 6%, as I understand it, as it currently stands in its form. And this would include some of the block grant funding. How important would that be for Shawnee Mission in terms of, a difference in that kind of funding?
It's a very significant issue. This week when that proposal was introduced, we were surprised, very disappointed by that proposal. Now we're several weeks into the veto session. They still haven't figured out how to fund what they've already committed to and fund the budget. And we're really disappointed in the process. And so the proposal yesterday, we don't have any detail about it at all. Again, we were surprised by it. Is it a categorical across all areas of funding? What's it really look like? We don't know.
But that, I imagine that produces some anxiety for you because of the unknowns.
Well, we're the first week of June, and the legislature is now rolling out for a fiscal year starting less than a month away. You might have this across-the-board reduction. I think that's really inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, so your job as superintendent, what options do you have? And how is it similar or different to how you might conceptualize a private sector CEO responding to a similar, budget shortfall? Like, what are the tools you do have and what are the ones that you don't that other executives might have options of?
Well, the option for us right now, we don't have a mechanism to go out and raise additional revenue. So I can't raise the price of the product that we're trying to sell to the community to increase the revenue to offset other losses. And so for us right now, we have one choice. Can we reallocate the resources we have, or do we have to make reductions? Because again, I can't go out and produce additional revenue.
Mm-hmm. And the block grant funding that had been proposed by the Brownback administration, you were one of a few school districts that came out essentially in favor of the changing from a school funding formula to block grant funding. Has your position on this changed at all, or what informed that decision for you?
Our position hasn't changed at all. It's very important the legislature fund the block grant bill, mm-hmm. and so we've been watching that very intently, and so they need to fund it. So the block grant bill for us locks in the current funding for the maximum of 2 years until a new formula is written. Could be sooner, but our thought about the block grant bill, it would prevent, hopefully, what we're talking about right now in relation to what are our revenues for next year when we've already committed to so many different things. So I have so many costs we know that are going to go up. And so the cost of operating a school district is very significant. So when we talk about utility rate increase or health insurance rate increases, those things go up. But if I know how to budget in advance, but realistically right now, We're 3 weeks away from starting a new fiscal year, and I still don't know what state revenue I'm going to receive, even though I have all these expenditures that I really have to account for.
That's a difficult position for many CEOs to find themselves in, not knowing how much money they will be operating with.
It's really a challenge. And, you know, in Kansas, we're not supposed to really have fund balances in the general fund. And so how do you prepare for, I hate to use this today, the rainy day? You have to be prepared for the rainy day.
I want to bring Sam Zeff. He's our KCUR's education reporter into this conversation. Good morning, Sam.
Happy to be here.
And I want to start with you. I mentioned a little bit of the news at the top with the superintendents moving on to other pastures. Can you give me a little bit about how Kansas City has changed under Dr. Green's tenure, Kansas City Public Schools superintendent?
Well, it's moved to a provisionally accredited status, which means a lot. It means that the transfer law, which is really devastating one school district in the St. Louis area, does not come into play. He has, by all accounts, stabilized the finances, has the academics moving in the right direction. And I think the most important thing that Steve Green has done is he's managed to throw off the yoke of it had a reputation of being a very poorly run operation, a patronage haven, right? Mm-hmm. Where superintendents and school board members were really worried about contracts, about jobs. And I think that he's thrown that yoke off. And now the city believes that there is hope for the Kansas City public school mm-hmm. system.
There's been, you know, a history of believing that, or, you know, a history of when superintendents leaving the KCMO school district that they're pushed out or forced out. Have you heard anything along those lines, or is this a different situation?
With Dr. Green?
Yes, with Dr. Green.
Absolutely not. I mean, there's been nobody who has said, who has countered what he has said, and that is that he has family in the Atlanta area. This is a good job. He's going to have a base salary of $300,000 a year. It's a much bigger school district with some issues, and I think that he was attractive because he seems to be a man who can come in and manage the manage his way out of these particular issues. So there has been no talk of Steve Green being forced mm-hmm. out.
And let's shift a little bit to Blue Valley. You know, how's it changed or stay the same under Dr. Trigg?
Well, everybody has praised Tom Trigg for his tenure there, 19 years in the district, 11 years as superintendent. I'm sure Dr. Henson knows him well and can speak to his talents. So he's going to the Highland Park School District in suburban Dallas. That is described as probably the closest thing, that district, to being a private school operation. So somebody in education described it to me as if Mission Hills had its own school district, that would be Highland Park. So it is a very high-achieving school district, both academically and in sports, which in Texas high school is very important. In fact, the high school football coach at Highland Park has his own weekly television show. And he apparently has, Dr. Trigg has some family in Texas. So I think this was it seemed to be a personal decision, but he's certainly going to a good school district.
And Sam, you've been covering education for a while here, and I'm curious, you've covered a lot of superintendents coming in, coming and going. What's your experience in terms of the difference that they can make?
Well, I think it depends on the school district. So, for example, whoever takes over Blue Valley, I could take over Blue Valley, and I think it would be fine for 3 or 4 years because it is
or 4 years at most.
At most, right. And I think because it is such a high-achieving school district, I think Dr. Henson is correct that Tom Trigg has surrounded himself with good executives. Good executives hire good managers, and so I think there is. I think the principals in Blue Valley are superior, and so I think that you need. I think whoever would come in there is taking over a good operation. Now, are the demographics in Blue Valley changing? Is this an opportunity to bring in somebody who may have to adjust how the district is doing things? I don't know about that, but there is that opportunity.
Well, we had to take one more quick break, and we want to hear from you. Has a specific superintendent left an impact on the education of your child? 816-235-2888 is how to join the conversation. When we come back, we'll be exploring a study looking at the impact that superintendents have, and that's just a moment when we return. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Matthew Law Middleton, in for Gina Kaufman, and today we're exploring the impact school superintendents have. Our friends in this conversation are Jim Hinson. He's the Shawnee Mission School District Superintendent. Hello again, Jim.
Hello.
And Sam Zeff. He's KCUR's education reporter. Hey, Sam.
Nice to be here.
And I want to bring into the conversation Russ Whitehurst. He's a senior fellow of economic studies at Brookings Institution and the Center on Children and Families. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Hey, glad to have you here. I understand you've done a bit of research into this issue, and in terms of the impact that superintendents have. Can you tell us a little bit about the study, what got you interested in it, and what you discovered?
Sure. Well, we've been studying the effects of teachers and principals and school districts, and we thought it was time to take a look at district superintendents. We examined student data and district data for all the districts in Florida and North Carolina over a 10-year period, asking what's the effect of hiring a new superintendent? What's the effect of superintendent experience on the job and other questions? And it's very important in understanding what we did to understand that we focused on one and only one outcome, and that was student achievement. And so,
and how did you measure student achievement? What does that mean?
Is on the state test of the same sort that that kids would be taking in your area, and we wanted to know, the districts improve, or what's the direction of student achievement when a new superintendent is hired. As we've heard in the conversations you've been having so far this morning with your listeners and the superintendent, I mean, this is a complex job. The superintendent, it's a management job. There are legal issues. There are all sorts of things going on, and so again, what we did was focus just on whether superintendents have an effect on student achievement. And what we found is that they do not. Changes in superintendents are not associated with either upward or downward movement. Experience on the job doesn't seem to have much of an impact on how an individual student superintendent district does. And so other things were quite important. The teachers are quite important. The buildings and principals are quite important. The district itself is important. But overall, superintendents had less than 0.5% influence on student achievement.
Jim, I'm curious, how does that make you feel? What do you think when you hear that?
It really doesn't surprise me. I think the role of the superintendent in relation to student achievement varies based on the size of the school district. For me right now, I have to honestly say, dealing with education, if you want to look at education as curriculum, instruction, student achievement, I have very little involvement with those areas. I am involved in making sure we have the right people that are in those areas.
What does that mean? So, like, for example, like if I wanted to, if you were getting petitions from parents or concerned folks about like, hey, we really need to make, more rigorous, or we need to be, focusing more on reading, like they would write a letter to you, but then who do you kick that decision and that thinking too?
Well, I have an entire curriculum and instruction staff. So working on instructional practices, that is not something that I work on. Working on really our curriculum, the scope and sequence of our curriculum, I'm not involved in that either. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, I'll look at the 30,000 foot view, if you will, mm-hmm. of what we're doing. But other people are employed to really make those decisions in relation to curriculum, instruction, student achievement.
But those hires, are those partly your responsibility, the board's responsibility, something else? Help me understand.
Those individuals are really my responsibility. So one of the key roles of the superintendent, making sure you have the right people that are in the right place. And so Collins will talk about having the right people in the right seat on your bus.
And Russ, I'm curious to hear from you. Did these findings surprise you when you discovered this?
Yes, they did. Because I think most of us in positions that take a look at education policy kind of believe that, hiring a dynamite CEO to turn around a low-performing district is what you need to do, and indeed we did not find that. So you know, it's a team sport, and superintendents come and go, and I think it's largely the characteristics of the district itself, the makeup of the board, the kind of civic engagement around schooling that that continues with changes in superintendents and has much more of an effect on how the district performs than anything an individual student does. And, you know, if Superintendent Henson were leaving and his district is working well, it would probably continue to work well. You know, if I came in and took charge, as we've heard.
So Sam was saying the same thing. In terms of the tenure, I know that that's also kind of a stereotype of superintendents. They tend to, how long do they tend to spend in each district that they serve?
3 to 4 years was the average, was the median time on the job in North Carolina and Florida over the period that we examined. So these are chairs that that shift membership quite frequently, and that, of course, it's difficult to have a major impact on a district with that kind of limited longevity.
And Dr. Henson, you served before in Shawnee Mission. You were in Independence, Missouri, and you were there for almost 11 years. Do you feel like, is there a distinct difference in terms of like being able to actually, you know, do the job for that long? Did you feel that made a change in the way you approached your job?
You know, we don't have time to talk about transitional and transformational leadership, but really the role of the superintendent when you're coming into a district, it's going to take you 2, 3, sometimes 4 years to really get some things, systems, programs, to connect with the community, those things really in place. And so I think longevity for the superintendency is really important for a community. Sam mentioned, you know, Tom Trigg has been in Blue Valley for 11 years, and we're going to miss Tom. We're going to miss his leadership in the area. But that amount of time has allowed Dr. Trigg to really make a dramatic impact on the Blue Valley School District. And certainly our goal is that the board sees the role of the superintendent, the next superintendent in Blue Valley, Kansas City, these other school districts important as well, and they make that right selection.
Is this short tenure part of a lack of impact, like low-performing districts stay low-performing, high-performing districts stay high-performing?
You know, the short tenure, fewer and fewer people are going into the profession. I guess it's easy for me to say, but the demands are pretty high. Mm-hmm. You know, you deal with a lot of issues, and the pressure can be pretty intense.
And Sam, I understand that there are a number of school districts in our area that are currently looking for superintendents.
Well, in addition to Kansas City and Blue Valley, Parkville is just named an interim superintendent, but they're looking for a permanent one for the following year. North Kansas City just lost their superintendent. Todd White is going to Blue Valley. Mm-hmm. And then there's the scandal-plagued St. Joseph, Missouri School District, which fired its superintendent back in March. They have not named an interim superintendent yet. But I would just say very briefly that I think that the school boards in those areas are all looking for slightly different things as they try to find a superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Well, sadly, that's all the time we have for today. So many questions left. We'll have to continue this conversation in the future. Dr. Jim Henson, Shawnee Mission School District Superintendent, thank you so much for joining us
this morning. Thank you very much.
And Russ Whitehurst, Senior Fellow, Economic Studies for the Center on Children and Families at the Brookings Institution, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Sam Zeff, as always, a pleasure to see you, KCUR's education reporter.
Pleasure's always mine.
This conversation will be posted online later this afternoon at kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also subscribe to our podcast feed on iTunes or your own podcasting service. You can continue this conversation with Central Standard on Twitter. We're KCURCST. You can find me there, MLM Industries. That's my handle. Our show is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross and myself. Our interns are Katie Knight and Andrea Tudhope. We have help from Patrick Quick, and Gina Kaufman is our host. Tomorrow we'll bring you in the intriguing history of Dr. Swope and Mr. Hyde, a mysterious death that shaped parts of Kansas City history. Up to Date is next with the outgoing KC Public School Superintendent Steve Green. Stay with us for that. That's The Standard. There'll be more tomorrow.